case, at least, that's certainly not true. There's nothing left to say except good morning, Alan Burley. Welcome. We were going to continue through the book of Acts until we remembered that this is Mother's Day. And we'd better not forget our mothers. We each have one. And it's a day to honor mothers. Alan Burley.
While I'm making a few remarks about mothers, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 22. And it's going to be there that we are going to look at a few thoughts. Matthew 15. It's verse 22. Matthew 15, starting at verse 22 or 21. Well, this morning is Mother's Day. It's a day that is recognized for mothers. It is a day when we can give them particular honor for their love and their devotion and their commitment. I had a very loving mother. She was very devoted to us. She worked herself to the bone for four boys. But the problem was, and there was a serious problem in the home, and that was that both my mother and father never opened the Bible to one of us boys once in the lifetimes we were in that home. But my mother was a good mother. She was very loving, looked after me and the rest of us. Clean clothes, always clean clothes, good meals. I couldn't ask for a better mother other than the fact that both her and my father were blind to the things of the Lord. And that was a very unfortunate thing. But a good mother. What causes a mother to faithfully tend to those she loves? What causes a mother to be that way? A devotion that is almost mysterious and dedication. What makes a mother so committed to their husbands first and then their children? What makes a mother to faithfully tend her children? To bath, to feed, to change diapers, wipe noses, wash, mend, clothes, make lunches, the faithfulness of a mother. What causes her to be so concerned about the little things in life? What causes her to be so patient about matters that can cause a man to simply give up? What causes a mother to be that way? Women seem to have a greater perception often regarding impending danger. That's a remarkable thing about a woman. They seem to have that sense of knowing when something's wrong, impending danger. A man often doesn't have that, but a woman does. A woman does. So all of the above that I've mentioned is because of love, the love of a woman, the love of a mother. I just want to say a few remarks about on the lighter side regarding mothers and raising children. I read this from a woman by the name of Irma Bombeck. Maybe you've heard her name before. She once said, "When my children became wild and unruly, I used a nice, safe playpen. And when they're finished, she said, I climbed out." A woman finds out what is meant by a spitting image when she tries to feed cereal to her infant. Someone said one of life's greatest mysteries is how the boy who wasn't good enough to marry your daughter can be the father of the smartest grandchild in the world. Isn't that true? James Dobson once said, "The difficult thing about children is that they come with no instructions, and you pretty well have to assemble them on your own." I used to say there's no apprenticeship with raising children. There's apprenticeships with everything else, but no apprenticeship raising children. Isn't that true? We start from scratch. It is said that a woman's children and her garden, listen to this, very good. A woman's children and her garden both reflect the amount of weeding done during the growing season. Isn't that good? During the growing season. Well, It's nice to laugh about those things. It's nice to read about them. But I want us to get down to the serious things now this morning. I want to talk about a woman. She was called a Canaanitish woman in chapter 15, verses 22 to 28. And if you would turn to those verses, we will read them together. Verse 21, actually. Then Jesus went thence, and he departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came, and they besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered, and he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she, and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered, and he said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it known unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. God bless to us the reading of this precious word. Let's just bow our head in a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we thank you for a good day. We thank you for a special day today. We all want to recognize our mothers. We want to recognize the fact that mothers were good. Mothers were loving. Mothers were that took part in our homes, in our lives, so much so. Some of us, many of us, miss our mothers. How devoted they were and how they loved us and how grateful we ought to be. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this Canaanitish woman, the main petition of this woman was, Have mercy on me. That was her main petition. In all of the verses we read, she wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy on her for the request that she was requiring. She does not limit Christ. Mercy is the thing that she begs. She does not plead any merit in her life, none whatsoever. Isn't that the truth of you, between you and I? We plead no merit in our lives when we come to know Christ. Someone has said, and listen, I want you to listen to this, very important. This discouragement she met within this address, in all the stories of Christ's ministry, we do not meet with the like. This woman, in her what they call importunity, her importunity, she would not give in because of her love of a daughter. The Lord Jesus was continually encouraging all that came to him down through the short years that he lived on the earth, when he was doing all that he could in the way of miracles and other ways of showing the people of Israel that he loved them. But in this case, it was always in his love towards others, either to in answer before they called or hear while they were yet speaking. But it seems he treats this woman differently. What could be the reason for that? Some think he treated her thus to absolutely try her faith. And I believe that to be true. And he often tries us to trust, to try our faith in what we do in our life. He knew what was in her heart. Thank God, God knows what's in my heart. And you ought to thank God what he knows, what you know about, or what he knows about you in your heart. Thank God for that. He knew the strength of her faith. That was another thing. She was not a Jew. But he discovered that there was a faith there that even the Jewish women didn't have. And Jewish men didn't have. He saw a faith in that woman that she wanted to see an answer in her daughter's life. She was able to break through such discouragements. Have you been discouraged before? I have. Many times I've been discouraged. But there are times when we break through those discouragements. Are you discouraged this morning? God knows your heart. He knows all about you. He knows every thought in your mind, every thought that goes through that my little mind of yours, every reasoning that goes through that mind of yours. He knows. And he's in control. He's in control of your life. He's in control of my life. He wanted to show that the trial of her faith might be found unto praise, unto honor, and unto glory. That's what he wanted to do. Observe verse 23. He says, but he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. The word us, I'm not too sure whether the disciples were quite right that she was crying after them. She was crying unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Observe the particular discouragements given her. When she cried after him, he answers her not a word. Not a word. It would seem he turned a deaf ear, and she could get neither any alms nor any answer in her life. It would seem. But Christ knew what he was doing. And incidentally, he knows what he's doing in your life and mine too. Don't ever forget that. He knows what's going on in your life. And he knows what he's doing in your life and in mine. We can have confidence in that. We can rely upon that, that he knows. Every accepted prayer is not necessarily an answered prayer. Let's remember that. It can be accepted, but not always answered in the time that we want it to be answered sometimes. I need to learn that. Sometimes God seems not to regard his people's prayers. Sometimes. And the reason would be this. It is to prove their faith, and not only that, but to improve their faith. That's true. I can relate to that one. Verse 23 says, and the apostles say, send her away. But the continued boldness, the forwardness is uneasy for men. But Christ loves to be cried after. He does. Verse 24, it says there that, but he answered and he said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said that to this lady. Not only does he not answer her, he seems to argue against her. He stops her with a reason. And the reason is shown in that, in those verses. The reason was that she was not a Jew. That was the reason. You know, I thank God that that middle wall of partition is broken down. I thank God for the fact that Peter was willing enough to partake of the animals that came down in a sheet and was disclosed to him and shown to him the fact that he was to eat. He was to eat all. All was acceptable. And it was at that time the Gentile nations came into the picture. I'm a Gentile. I tell you, where would we be? Where would we be today? What a heartache to question whether we be of those to whom Christ has sent. If heaven were silent regarding our sinful condition, where would we be? But today, no room is left for that doubt. The distinction between Jews and Gentiles is taken away. When she continued her importunity, he seemed to insist that she did not qualify. At least that was what it was apparent that he was trying to prove to her the fact that she didn't qualify. It appears not only did he repulse her, but also seemed to reproach her because she was not a Jew. 25 says, it says this, then came she and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I need help, Lord. I need help. Is there anyone here this morning who are not too clear about your eternal destination? You're not too clear about where you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not too clear about life. Well, the answer is here. You can acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ died for you, and you need to understand that he died for you, and you need to understand that you need to acknowledge that fact and ask him into your life and your heart. When she continued her importunity, now, it appears not only did he repulse her, but also seemed to reproach her. Her prayer was tenfold. Now, listen to this. Tenfold. When I come to know Christ, I am not absolutely sure that my prayer or my life or my desires were the same as what this woman was. Her prayer was short. It was humble. Her prayer was fervent. Her prayer was desperate. Have you ever been in that situation? Her prayer was rational. Her prayer was respectful. Her prayer was worshipful. Her prayer was persevering. Her prayer was determined. And her prayer was full of faith in Jesus Christ. Does that speak to your heart? It certainly does mine. She throws herself at his feet. That's what she does. What a woman. It seems those whom God intends to bless, he sometimes humbles and lays low. It's true. In a sense of their own unworthiness, they feel that themselves. It seems that Christ, listen to this, I'm careful when saying this, but it seems that Christ delights to exercise great faith with great trials. And I believe that to be true. Great trials bring great faith. They do. And maybe reserves the sharpest for the last. That being tried, we may come forth like gold. Now, she continues to pray. Right? What Christ seems to have said, to her, silenced the disciples. You hear no more of them in the verses. They're gone. Not gone, but they're listening. They're silent. No more. It seems they took the answers, but she did not. She wasn't happy. She wasn't satisfied. Again, Lord, help me. Years ago, I tell this story. I've not told it too often, but I will tell it this morning. We were living up in Kitimat, a town away up north. I was doing some work up there. And we had a lovely home to stay in there, and it was a beautiful summer evening. And Pat and I were sitting in the front room, and I don't know, we were talking. I was reading a little bit. And all of a sudden, I heard this noise in the children's bedroom. I had no idea what was happening. I knew that the individual, it was our oldest daughter, I knew that she wasn't sleeping. I got up from that Chesterfield just like a shot, and I ran into the bedroom, and here she is. She's choking. Now, I thought immediately that there was something she had grabbed out of the refrigerator or off the table or somewhere and put it in her mouth, and she had gone to sleep, and she was choking. And I grabbed her body. I threw the covers back and picked her up. She was just a tiny little thing. I ran into the front room, and Pat is still sitting on the Chesterfield. I put her on the carpet in the front room, and Pat and I, I got down on my knees. She jumped up, got on her knees, and we stood before this child. I didn't know what to say. All I said is, Lord, help us. A short prayer, but a meaningful prayer. Lord, help us. The funny thing about it was that in those days, you picked up the receiver, and there's a voice on the end of it saying, number, please. And I ran to the phone because I knew she needed attention at the hospital. I ran to the phone, grabbed the receiver, and I started to describe what was happening. And I put the receiver down, and I forgot to tell the individual where the address of our house was. And within minutes, there was an ambulance racing up the street right to our home. I didn't even tell them where the address was. And I discovered that the woman that had received the call that I had talked to on the phone, she recognized my voice because we had been at a Bible study in her home the night before. And she knew my voice. She knew exactly where we lived. The ambulance had come screaming up and picked the child up, and we raced down to the hospital. Well, the end of it all, the story is that she really was fine. Okay. But it was the desperation that my wife and I were in. Lord, help me, or help us. In this child's situation. I thank God that short prayers can mean an awful lot, can mean a great deal. In verse 26, it tells us there that it says, but he answered and he said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, this seems to cut her off from all hope. That's what it does. And could have driven her to absolute despair. If she had not great and strong faith, and this is what she shone on. She wanted to know the blessings of that man so that she could go back home and see her child healed. Oh, the love of a mother. You know, I think of the stories that could be told about mothers and their children. Gentiles were looked upon with great contempt at that time. We were called and counted as dogs. Less than the least of all God's mercies, dogs. Whether she was one of those to whom Christ was sent or not, and she wasn't, I come to the Son of David for mercy, this is what she said, and I will not let him go until he blesses me. That's the faith of a mother. That's the importunity of a mother. Her prayer is short, but it's fervent. Lord, give me what I have come for. Give me what I have come for. She believed that Christ could and he would help her. In verse 27, it says this, that, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. In verse 27, she said, I can't deny it. I am a dog, and I have no right to the children's bread. She realizes that. But she says, dogs eat the crumbs. They fall off the table. Dogs eat the crumbs. And you and I know that if we have animals, that's exactly what they do. They grab anything that falls on the floor. It is true. The full and regular provision is intended for the children. But I only want the crumbs. I just want the crumbs. That's all. Her humility and necessity made her glad of crumbs. Those who deserve nothing will be thankful for anything. Her faith expected those crumbs. She calls it their master's table. If she was a dog, she was his dog. Isn't that a thought? If she was a dog, she was his dog. Thank God we don't have to beg for crumbs today. We don't. Well, she won the struggle. And you and I can win the struggle in our own personal lives as we appropriate by faith what God really has for us and be willing to submit to whatever might have to go through our lives. And that's a bit scary. But God will bless in my life and in yours. She won the struggle. Though a Canaanite, approved herself a true daughter of Israel. Amazing. Because of her love of a child. In verse 28, it tells us there that then Jesus answered, and he said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Great is thy faith. There were other good qualities in this woman's life. There was wisdom. There was humility. There was meekness. There was patience. And above all, there was perseverance. But these were all a byproduct of her faith. Remarkable. Though the faith of all the saints alike are alike precious, it is not all alike strong. They're alike precious, but not always alike strong. It's true. All believers are not of the same size and stature. Not the same size or not the same stature. Weak faith, if true, will not be rejected. Great faith will be commended. in your life and in mine. He cured her daughter. He says, I can deny thee nothing. Take what thou camest for. When our wills conform to the will of Christ, and I need to learn this, folks, when our will is conformed to the will of Christ, his will concurs with the will of our desires in life. The mother's faith prevailed for the daughter's cure. Wonderful story. There's so much in there that it's applicable to you and I today as well. Now, she really wanted to see physical healing in that daughter's life. There was not spiritual healing, not at all. There was no spiritual healing, but she recognized the fact that Jesus Christ was truly, truly the Messiah. And I ask you this morning, do you know the Messiah today? Do you really know, truly know who he is? This world is rushing by. The other day I gave a gospel tract to a man that I was having gas served. He came out. I was serving my own gas, but he came out. And I had a tract in my car. I have a few of them. And this one tract, which was such a help to me in my younger years, it was called Safety, Certainty, and Enjoyment. Wonderful tract. I'd highly recommend that to any one of you. Safety, Certainty, and Enjoyment. Well, he looked at that. He didn't quite understand what safety was. And he certainly didn't know what enjoyment was. And he looked at all this and he said, I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't know what this means. And I said, well, I understand that. I said, I didn't know at one time in my life either. I didn't know what enjoyment was, truly was. Oh, there were times in my life that I understood a little bit about enjoyment. Yes, that is right. But I didn't know the real depths of enjoyment in my life. I didn't understand it. I didn't know. And I went out to talk to him, not in the way I'm talking to you this morning, but I wanted to say to him clearly, you read this tract. It'll take you, it's a read of about 10 minutes. Take the tract, sit down and read it. And I said, with an open heart, just allow God to reveal to you what he has for you in your life. And he looked at me with a big grin. He says, I'll just do that exactly. I'll stop at lunch hour and I'll read it. Safety, certainty, and enjoyment. Do you want that this morning? Do you want safety? Do you want certainty? And do you want enjoyment? Well, the answer to all of that is that you will willingly trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Do you know what I want to say? I want to say this. I say this every time I get up here, but I want to say this again. I thank God 1,000 times over. Didn't know that years back. But today, I thank God 1,000 times over that he revealed to me his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I walk through homes, and you walk through homes where people are ill, and they're aged, they're old, many of them don't have minds anymore, their minds are gone, and they just sit in a chair or in bed or whatever they might be doing. And some of the things they do is just almost beyond understanding at the age they are. But they still do those things because the mind is gone. And I walk by those rooms, and I look at a mother an old woman, sitting in a chair. She was a mother, obviously, because she had a doll. And this doll's all wrapped up in a little blanket, and she's humming. She's singing to this doll. She's holding this doll and moving the doll back and forth in her arms. Well, I suppose in a way that's okay, but you know, there comes a time in life where, you know, it's too late. It's too late. And those people that you walk by, it's too late for them to clearly understand. Some minds are okay, but even at that age, it's difficult for them to clearly understand. There's not a willingness on the heart. There comes a time in life when you become hardened to these things. And it's not good. You've got to exercise the faith in a flexible way, in a way the disposition that is willing to look and try to understand and be willing to understand and allow God to do his essential work in your life. That's what he needs. That's what we need. And even after we become believers, and even after we've known Christ for years, we still have to be receptive. We still have to allow him to work in our lives the way he wants to work in our lives. How true. Let's pray. Father, again today, we want to thank you for the blessings of this day. We're grateful for the fact that we have been able to come and worship you this morning earlier, and how that we have afresh reminded ourselves of his death and his burial and his resurrection. Father, we ask you to richly bless those here this morning. Each family, we ask you, Father, that many of us have children. Many of us have grandchildren. Some of us even have great-grandchildren. Father, we just pray that we would be able to live lives before them, before our mother, our daughters and our sons, and before our husbands towards their wives, that we might live before them in a way that they will see Christ in us. That's what I want. That's what I'm sure many of you here this morning want, that we would be exemplifying the Lord Jesus Christ. How grateful we are. We ask these things now in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for your attention.